Each one of us has someone of our loved ones that we can be praying for. I hope that you are praying for them. I know I have, and I'm sure many of you others do. And we know that God does hear prayer. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it seems that God doesn't even hear us anymore. But know this, God does hear prayers, and he answers them also. May not always be the answer that we expect, but when we are praying for a loved one, don't give up, don't stop. Continue praying. It is, as we heard already, there is no pleasure in God. God has no pleasure in the loss of any soul. He sent his Son into this sin-cursed earth to suffer and to die for the whole world. And he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. He has paid the price. He has redeemed fallen mankind. He has redeemed you, and he has redeemed me. Oh, what a precious thing it is when we have the opportunity to even think about praying for our loved ones. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto each and every heart and soul gathered here this morning, hour of grace, and also to those who may be listening in on the phone service. Grace be unto each one. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Bernie has already mentioned, and I have to say amen, that it is a hard place to come up here. It seems that there is nothing that we have to offer. But we do have the word that is written. We have the word that is written that we can read. And we pray that God would, through his Holy Spirit, reveal that word unto us, not only to me, but unto you also who are listening, that word would enter into your ears and into your hearts, that it may find root there, may find soil, that it can take root and bring forth fruit abundantly. I would ask that you would say a prayer unto the Heavenly Father as we read the word and as we explain it, that he will, through his Holy Spirit, reveal that word unto each one of us. I've chosen to read a portion of scripture in the Old Testament, which is kind of unusual for me, found in the 2 Kings chapter 5. I think it's a familiar portion to most everyone, except perhaps the very youngest here. But it has something for the young ones also in this scripture. That portion about Naaman, that captain of the host. And I'll read this in Jesus' name. I'll read the whole chapter because it's got so much in it. And I think that if we didn't read the whole chapter, we would be remiss in leaving out, we would be guilty of leaving out some of the important things that are written here in this chapter. Brother Bernie spoke of some of the prophets of old, and oh, how those prophets of old had the grace of God. They were given power by God to do so many, many things. I don't know where that power has gone now. We don't seem to have that same power anymore as they did in the Old Testament times, but we still have the greatest power of all. That power when Jesus says that you will do greater things. And I believe what he meant there was that we will be given the power of the keys to open the gates of heaven, to proclaim sins forgiven to a broken heart, to proclaim them forgiven in Jesus' name and his precious atoning blood. So we still have a great power even now. But I'll read this chapter. Chapter 5, 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, and he was a leper, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with him, with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some, do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he learneth of my hand, leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged them and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when they came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Amen. It's quite a story. It's not only a story, this is true, this is the word of God. Now it begins here. Naaman, who it says was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. We all know in the military a captain is a very important man, an important soldier. And he was a very important man. He was great, a great man with his master. He was not only important in rank, but he was a great man, it says, with his master. And honorable. He was an honorable man because by him the Lord had given deliverance. The Lord, it says, had given deliverance unto Syria. This was the hand of God. The hand of God working in this man, Naaman. You see, we do not know. We never know how God works. We don't know how God's plan, what God's plans are. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts, and his ways so much higher than our ways. So God was in this plan. The Lord delivered him unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper. He had a very, very serious disease. Maybe some of you young ones haven't even heard of the disease leprosy. But this was something that was very common in the Old Testament times especially. And it is still in some countries. Leprosy is very prevalent. And most of the time when someone is a leper, they have to go to a place where they are away from everybody else. They cannot be near somebody because it is very contagious. But in this case, I believe that we speak of leprosy as a form of sin also, because it is something that eats away at us. Leprosy eats away from the flesh. Sin in our conscience, on our conscience, it eats away at us also. It is something that is very, very serious. It is as serious, if not more so, and it is more so than even leprosy. And it says here, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, this doesn't seem that it would be in God's plan that this little maid would have to be taken from her homeland, from her family perhaps, and be taken to this land of the Syrians. But she was not harmed. She was not given to anything evil or bad, but she was given to Naaman's wife to be a maid unto her. Now, you young ones especially, you do not know. We do not know what is to come. We may yet have to be taken to a strange land, to some place where we are away from our own people. But let's not be discouraged. Let's make the best of it if we are, as this little girl did here. This little girl had probably learned on her mother's lap and in her young childhood learned about God and perhaps about Jesus, because certainly those in the Old Testament talked of the coming Messiah, Jesus. And so she remembered this teaching that she had, and she knew that there was a prophet in Israel. There was a prophet there. A prophet, we heard, was one that was a man of God, that was blessed by God to have much power by God's word. And so this little maid who was there, she remembered what she had learned and what she remembered about this prophet. And so she didn't want to keep it to herself. She was sorry for her mistress's husband, Naaman, because he had leprosy. She wasn't angry at him because he had taken her. This was all in the Lord's hands, in his plan. And so she knew of a way that perhaps, if God so willed, that he would help this man Naaman. And so she said unto her mistress, "Would God, oh, if God would allow my Lord to be where the prophet that is in Samaria, oh, if he would allow that her Lord," she calls him Lord because that's what there was when someone who was much above you, this was not God. She talked to God, wishing that God would allow her master, who she called Lord, that he would be with that prophet that is in Samaria. Why? Because, now, this was faith. This was faith. The Bible says that if we have the faith of a mustard seed. If we have the faith of a little child, and that's what we have to become. And this little maid, she said he would recover him of his leprosy. She didn't say, oh, maybe he could, maybe he would. He would recover him of his leprosy. Now this was faith. This was faith. And remember the faith that young boys who were taken captive also, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. We all heard these stories before. They had faith, and they believed in God. They trusted in the power of God. They trusted in His grace and in His mercy. And they would not be obedient to the ways of the world, the ways that even they were commanded to do by the king where they were. They were thrown in the flame of, in the furnace of fire, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God saw to it that the flames did not even touch them. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and the lion's mouth were closed. And that was all in the hands of God also, in the plan of God. For the king was so touched by these miracles, by this God that protected them, that he said that everyone has to believe in their God. Now, this little maid, she said, if he were with that prophet, he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, somebody heard her in there, and they went and told Naaman that this, thus and thus, said the maid, said what she had said, that he would recover from his leprosy if he went to that prophet. And so the king of Syria heard it also. Naaman, who was subject to the king, he perhaps talked to the king. And the king said, go immediately. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed. And he took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Have you any idea how much money value these things were? In my Bible at home, I took it down. It said that 10 talents of silver is worth $52,800. 10 talents of silver, $52,800. That was in those days. I don't know what it would be now. And the 6,000 pieces of gold, it says, were worth $384,000. This is what Naaman took with him. And he proposed to pay this much money to be rid of leprosy. So the king had given him that money, I suppose, because the king thought he was such a good man. And so he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. He thought that the king had that power. He brought him to the king. What happened? The king was very angry, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. And he said, am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and say, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. He was very, very angry. The king of Samaria had not meant to quarrel. He had his, in his mind, he had a good reason to send this letter to the king, because he didn't know anything. But now, let's just see. It was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king. Now, how did Elisha know that the king had rent his clothes? How did Elisha know that there was a man sent to him? God revealed it unto him. God revealed it unto him. And Elisha is a prophet that it's interesting to know that he was a prophet that was handed the gift of God by God when he was kind of a helper to Elijah, the prophet, who was a very, very powerful prophet. And he traveled together through many places, and Elisha to leave him. He was going someplace, and Elisha said, "No, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee." And he said, "You know, I have to be taken away," Elijah said, and he knew it. He had to be taken away, and he followed him wherever he went until they crossed the River Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and he placed it on near the waters of Jordan, and the waters parted, and they walked across. And then Elijah knew that it was his time to go. He did not know how, or he did not know exactly when, but he knew it was pretty close to the time, and he asked Elisha, "What do you want? What do you want from me?" Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of your power." And so Elijah said to him, to Elisha, that if you see when I am taken away, you will receive the double portion. But if you do not see me taken away, you will not receive it. And so shortly, a chariot of fire came and snatched Elijah away, and Elisha saw it. And it just says it snatched him away and he was taken up into heaven. Those are the word of God. We do not argue with it. We do not know. Others went to look for Elijah afterwards. They never could find him. So we do not. We just leave that in God's hand, wherever he is. It says he was snatched up and taken into heaven. So Elisha was given the double portion of Elijah's power. Now, Elisha did many, many things before this. We could go on and on the things that he did. But we're now in this story of Naaman. And so when he heard this, that the king had rent his clothes, and so he "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" he said, "Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Elisha said to the king, "Let him come to me. You can't do anything, but I have the power of God. I can. Let him come to me." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of his house, of the house of Elisha. Now, listen carefully what Elisha did. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, unto Naaman, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Oh, Naaman just could not accept this. He couldn't understand this. First of all, Elisha didn't even come to the door. He sent a messenger unto him. "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Naaman did not understand a thing about the way God works. God works through his servants. And it was such that Naaman was so angry, he was just going to go away. He wasn't going to listen to him at all. Is this how it is with some of us who sometimes think that something great should be done for us? We should see some great miracle happen, that we should see God work in a great, mysterious, and miraculous way before our sins can be forgiven. God does not ask us to become good or clean before he cleanses us. What does he want us to do? He wants us to be obedient to his word. He wants us to be believers. Believe. That's what is important. And so, as Naaman was wroth and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abner and Phaphna, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Do we think that way sometimes too? Can we go to some beautiful, beautiful big church or something where the people are so high and mighty that can't I believe my sins forgiven from there? It's the same way that Naaman was thinking here, that can I be made clean by the waters that are much better than the waters of Israel? Now, what do his servants say? His servants came near and spake unto him, and said, "My father," very, very calmly, "if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it?" Surely, that's what he was waiting for, some great thing that he was supposed to do. How much rather then when he said to thee, "Wash and be clean"? What do we need? What are we told as sinners? Wash and be cleaned. Have our feet washed? Have our sins washed away in the blood of Jesus and in his holy and precious name? How simple it is in reality. How difficult it is to a stubborn and a proud person. A stubborn and a proud person that cannot receive simple instructions, simple methods to be washed and be clean, just as Naaman here. But Naaman, he did give in. Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, as he was told, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see how simple it was. All he had to do was to be obedient. Obedient to the words that were given unto him by the man of God. Because God was working through the prophet. And the prophet didn't even tell him that. He sent a servant to tell him. And he returned to the man of God. And he and all his company and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Oh, he thought that there is no other God, but take a present from me. I have brought a lot of riches with me. Take them, because you have cleansed me. Had the prophet cleansed him? No. Had the servant cleansed him? No. Who had cleansed him? God had cleansed him. Now Elisha says that, and he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Do we proclaim the forgiveness of sins to someone for money? Someone wants to pay us to receive the Holy Spirit, as they did in the New Testament time also, when they were told to take thy money and perish, and let thy money perish with thee. But he would not take anything for it, and neither do we want to take money for service to a penitent sinner, because it is not our work. We are servants, and we do the work of God. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? Now he wanted some of that ground that was in Israel. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He wanted something to stand on, and he felt that that earth that was there would be much better than the earth where he was, and it was as though it was standing on the promises of God. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He's asking the prophet that, will the Lord pardon me when I have to do what I am told what is necessary for me to do? I won't do it for worship. I'll just do it for obedience. And so the prophet told him, Elisha told him, and he said unto him, go in peace. Yes, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now, Gehazi was the servant of Elisha. And when he sent the Naaman away without taking anything from him, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me. Now, you hear this. My master hath sent me. Now, Elisha had certainly not sent him. He had gone on his own because he wanted to have some riches for himself. Wanted to receive something for himself. And he says that, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. Now, this Gehazi was lying. He was sinning in that he went after riches that didn't belong to him, and knowing an easy way to get them. And so Naaman said, be content. Yes, go ahead. Sure. Naaman believed him. Be content. Take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants. And they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. Now, he certainly didn't want to bring them to Elisha. He wanted to deceive Elisha. He wanted to make him think that he didn't do anything. But he took them and he bestowed them in the house, meaning he took all these talents and changes of garments and put them in the house of the tower. and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in. Now he went into the house, and he stood before his master, all thinking he had done such a great thing. He had got away with it. Nobody knew the difference. Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" "Gehazi, where are you coming from?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." Again he lied. He said, "I haven't gone anywhere. Why do you ask me that? I haven't gone anywhere." But you see how God is able to reveal. He revealed unto Elisha what Gehazi, his servant, had done. And so he said, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" Oh, Elisha's heart went with him. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is this a time to receive money when you have done something that God wanted you to do? Certainly not. But oh, what a punishment came upon Gehazi, who had done this. "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." Unto thy seed forever. This was a great punishment, but it was a great sin that Gehazi had done. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. So, what do we learn from this? First of all, we learn that we are to be obedient. Obedient to the Word of God. We are to be obedient in believing what the Word tells us. We are to understand that we don't have to do some great thing to receive cleansing of our sins. That we don't try to do things for riches when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to proclaiming cleansing to a sin-sick soul, the forgiveness of their sins, we do not do this for money. We do it because we have been given this power by God Himself, by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We have been given this power to proclaim sins forgiven unto a penitent sinner, to open the gates of heaven to him. But oh, it says that we are to forgive the sins of the penitent and to retain those, the sins of those who do not repent. As it was in the case here of Gehazi, his sins remained because he did not repent. As far as this book is concerned, we do not know what happened afterwards. So we want to be the children of God. We want to be obedient to his word. We want to understand that we don't have to go to any great places or do any great things. We don't have to find any great, beautiful churches to have our sins forgiven, to walk as a child of God. We want to go where? Oh, may I encourage each and every one, young and old alike, to continue on this narrow way of life, to continue believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that your sins are washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb, believing that He is able to continue to carry you to the end. For He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. To this end, may God add His blessings to the reading of His word and the preaching of His word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe we have dinner that will be served to us in the downstairs. Everyone, I'm sure, is welcome. Let us give thanks and pray. Gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we know that all things are from Thy hand, and we thank Thee for all Thy blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon each one of us. We thank Thee for the loving hands that have prepared the gifts that are downstairs awaiting us. And we thank Thee for all Thy blessings. We ask Thy blessing upon these gifts, that they would nourish our natural body, and Thy word unto our eternal souls. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
I have a wedding invitation to read. Two hearts, one love, two promises, one covenant, two lives made one in Christ. Jessica Ray Barney and Jeremy Samuel Sepala, together with their parents, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Barney, Mr. and Mrs. Samuel Sepala, joyously invite you to share in the union of their lives through Christ on Friday, the 21st of August, 1998, at 7 o'clock in the evening, Tapiola Apostolic Lutheran Church, Tapiola, Michigan. Reception to follow in church parlor. There's a meal served for everyone downstairs. All are invited to partake, and the service will continue this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Next Thursday evening, there'll be a evening service at 7:30. And then next Sunday again, we'll gather at 10:30. 2 weeks from Tuesday night, there'll be a Sunday school teachers meeting. That's August 25th. And we're looking for a volunteer to host that meeting. We'll announce the location later. Today's collection will be taken for the benefit of the North Carolina congregation. And in closing, we'll sing song 497.